continue to remember those who are indeed grief today. They will go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and the last verse. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the last verse of chapter 2. We had a good Sunday school lesson today. Everybody enjoyed the lesson, I'm sure. Everybody took part. We're glad of it. We're glad that you and visitors came to visit us today. There are three families I know that are out. I thought they'd be here today, members of our church, but they're not here. 16th verse of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Nobody on this earth has brains enough to know the mind of the Lord, that he might instruct the Lord. But Paul says, "We have the mind of Christ." And therefore, we can think the same things that Christ thinks. We can do the same things that Christ did, except perform his miracles. And we have the same spirit that Christ had. When we were born again, his spirit came into our hearts and lives. And therefore, we have the mind of Christ. We can think like him, behave like him. We can be Christians if we will stand up to it, be brave and bold, and do what he says in his word. The mind of Christ. That's what we want to study today, and the mind. What is the mind? The mind is a gift that no other being or intelligence in this world has. The human mind I'm talking about. The mind is not the brain. The brain is one thing. The mind is another. We can't see the mind even after we're dead. Nobody can see the mind. But the psychologists and the psychiatrists and physiologists all can see the brain. And they have been doing some wonderful things with men's brains nowadays. Sometimes you take a chopping axe and chop it wide open. Yeah, some men have been done that way. Well, the brain is different from the mind. The mind is different from the brain. The brain is the medium through which the mind works. The brain has from 14 billion to 26 billion brain cells, and the learning of man is unlimited. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." If he thinks selfishly, he will be a selfish man. If he thinks righteously, he will be a righteous man. If he thinks for money, and all that money will bring, that's the way he is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If he thinks murder, he will be a murderer. If he thinks thieving and stealing, he will be a thief. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what Solomon said, and Solomon knew what he was talking about. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If he thinks of a hunter, he will be a hunter. If he thinks of a fisherman, he will be a fisherman. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If a man thinks as a carpenter and wants to build, he will be a carpenter. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The heart there refers to the mind. The spirit, the mind of man. Man can think as no dog does, as no monkey does, as no animal of the forest does. Because man is not an animal. Man has an intelligence. Man can choose. Man has choice. Man has differentiation. Now, I know that's a great big word, but you can tell the difference between a watch and a pulpit. That's differentiation. Man has that power. He has that power because God gave it to him when God created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve passed that mind and that kind of thinking down to you and me. And because man is built as he is, he can trust in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Dog can't do that, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. Cats cannot trust in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I don't mean to be disrespectful. They don't have the intelligence, They don't have the choice, they don't have the mind that a human being has. Now, the evolutionists in Chicago University can play with all the monkeys they please. And they say we came from monkeys. That doesn't make it so. They're just telling a lie, because monkeys do not think as men think. Now, monkeys can climb around in trees, and they can climb around over the shoulders of men, and things of that kind, but monkeys are not men, and men are not monkeys. There's a vast gap between the animal kingdom and man himself. Vast gap. And that gap cannot be bridged. It cannot be crossed over. I know men have tried to. They've tried to find the missing link, or whatever they call it. They've done their best, but they never will, and they never have. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what Solomon said about it. And Solomon meant what he said. So in our day, the mental stylists and designers want students to have a smattering of knowledge of many subjects, and they don't care whether students think deeply or not. They measure the outward shape of the mind, but never test its capacity for output. They follow the formula of women's hat designers, whose goal is to shape a type of headgear which will stick on the head without covering it. I'm not making fun of you ladies. And I went into a jewelry shop one time, and I heard two ladies talking. And one lady said to the other, showing her a hat, she said, "Sailor, don't you think you ought to buy this one?" And Sailor said, "Well, I wouldn't be caught in a storm cellar with that thing on my head." Well, you can't see very many people in a storm cellar. And that's where these people are today regarding the mind. They want men to think shallow. They want to make a mind broad, so broad that it will be shallow. They want men to think deep thoughts. They do not want men to think like God. They do not want men to know the Bible. And so you find trash here, trash there, and trash everywhere in this country. And on the TV and on the radio and everywhere else, you'll find nothing but trash. Just trash. And I advise you to stay away from it. I advise you to tune off the TV when that stuff comes on. Some people have an open mind which will swallow anything that comes along, like a child with the adenoids. You know, a child with the adenoids will keep his mouth open all the time. If a bug flies in, he just swallows. If a fly flies in, down it goes. Yeah, that's right. If a chip flies in, down it goes. Well, that's the way some people are. Their minds are nothing but trash cans and garbage cans and waste paper baskets. And that's all they know in this age. And you start talking to them about Jesus Christ, and they give you a mean look like that. Well, who is he? I don't know anything about him. Well, of course not. All they studied is sex and violence and crime and stuff of that kind. That's all they know. Their minds are so shallow. We live in a shallow age, brethren. Men with shallow minds are running this age. And as long as it's run by men of that kind, we're going downhill, my brother, and America's going downhill, and America will finally fall into the grave of nations. Okay, so we must learn to close our minds at the proper time. You know, the old theory of education erected red lights as well as green lights along the roads that led to the seat of the intellect. I remember when I was a boy, and I didn't have so many gray hairs, so many wrinkles in my face, my teachers told me the difference between right and wrong. And they said, "Now, Hubbard, you do this, and that's right, and you do this, and that's wrong." And they gave us literature, and they let us read books that were noble books, good books, fine reading material. You didn't have to do research work in trash, garbage, junk. You didn't have to do that. And then make a book report on that stuff. You didn't do that. Not as they do today. You didn't know anything about Marxism and communism and Leninism and Stalinism and all of otherism as they know today. Not in my day. No, sir. Every time we opened school at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning, they read the Word of God, and they had a prayer. And some student in that classroom read that prayer, too. That's the way I was raised, but you don't find it today. Out with the Bible, out with prayer, out with righteousness, out with all of that junk.
And I'll tell you, we ought to say out with those black robed judges in Washington, D.C. Get out of there, we don't need you. And a lot of those congressmen that are committing sex and homosexuality, somebody ought to pull that guy, those guys into the Potomac River with a 100-pound rock on their heads and say, stay out of there until you drop. Exactly what ought to happen to those rascals. What an age to live in. What an age. Men living like animals. Even congressmen and senators living like animals. Why, even a female, a lioness, has got more morality than some of the people in this country. An old sow and a hog pen has got more morality than some of the people in this country. You know, we got what you call free thinkers today, free thinkers. They're free to think about everything except God and Christ and righteousness. Free, yeah, free thinkers. Today we have the slogan, nothing is unthinkable. And since our thoughts govern our speech, therefore came the slogan, nothing is unspeakable. And so on stage, screen, radio, and everyday conversation, we find low, vulgar, smutty, immoral ideas. And since nothing is unspeakable, then nothing is untenable. Hence we have low, cheap, trashy, salacious, dirty literature everywhere. And that's what it is in this country. And God's curse is resting on America on account of it, brethren. God's curse. And my friends, if we think as we please, then we're going to behave as we please. You know that to be true. And so we have moral decay and breakdown today in America because we have a breakdown in men's thinking, men's thoughts. Yes, sir, evil thoughts are thought out in men's minds, and their evil thoughts govern their conduct. And therefore we have butchers in this country that are not satisfied just to kill a man with one bullet. No, no, they must take an axe or a butcher knife or some other long knife and cut that victim to pieces. Let us blow it out to the jackals and the wolves and the buzzards and let those things eat that body. And then when they get up in court, they bawl and squall worse than one of those little babies back there and says, oh, I'm so sorry, I did that, I didn't mean it, I didn't. Well, those rascals ought to be, they ought to be torn to bits just like they tore their victims to bits. That's what ought to happen to them. But instead, some little jack-legged lawyer with a black leg will plea bargain and plea bargain and plea bargain until he gets off the hook like that guy Hinckley in Washington, D.C. Disgusting. The justice system in this country. The justice system in this country is nothing but a pile of trash. Look down the way men think today. You know, men act wickedly because they think wickedly. And they act righteously when they think righteously. Thinking molds and governs our conduct. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what he is, just as he thinks. If he thinks the thoughts of God, then he's going to try to act like God. If he thinks the thoughts of the Bible, he's going to try to do the commands of the Bible. That's what it is. That's the way it works. That's what Solomon said. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the way he is. So is our thoughts govern our conduct. And so to think righteously, we must have God's Spirit. We must have God's Spirit in our hearts in order to think righteously. Yes, sir. We must have God's Spirit in our souls in order that we might think righteously. You know, that's one reason why we have foreign agents and spies in this country that give information to the Russians. Spies and foreign agents and saboteurs and men of that kind. That's the reason they do that. They fanned out all over America, all over our industrial technology. And they're in there like worms and like snakes and like Gila monsters. And they're shipping their knowledge over to Russia. And what's Russia doing with it? Well, she's building her technology, and she's building her military hardware. And she's getting ready to beat the stuffing out of this country. May God have mercy on America.
despise. You know, some men blab and blurt and blab all the time. Well, I want us to go to 2 Timothy 3 and 8. Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses and resisted the truth of God, were men of corrupt minds. And a man who has a corrupt mind cannot think as God wants him to think. A man who has a corrupt mind, my friends, will corrupt a nation. And that's 2 Timothy 3 and 8. If you care to turn around and read. 2 Timothy 3 and 8. Jannes and Jambres were men of corrupt minds. What does that word corrupt mean? Well, it comes from a word which means to ruin. It means to be tainted like bad meat. It means to be polluted and infected and defiled. It's worthless concerning the faith. And my friends, some men in this day have minds just like that. They tell these tall, nasty, filthy jokes all the time, and they never can. They never can think about anything else or tell anything else. It's always a bunch of filth that comes out of their mouths, because their minds are nothing but cesspools of pollution. When a man has a mind that's a cesspool of pollution, there will be no purity coming out of it. And I said, "Preacher, you're mad." "No, I'm not mad. I'm just preaching the truth." This is what Paul says. What Paul says. He's preaching the truth. I'm not mad. Paul said in Titus 1 and 15, and that's right close to 2 Timothy 3 and 8, Titus 1 and 15. Paul says in Titus 1 and 15, speaking of some men, said, "Even their mind and conscience is defiled." That is, it's stained, it's colored, it's dyed. Dyed with sin. Now, I know the ladies of this age do not know what it is to dye garments, but I remember when I was a boy, my mother used to dye garments. She bought a dress one time whose color she did not like. And she said, "I'm going to dye that dress another color," and she did. She went out to the old-fashioned wash pot and built a fire on it, got that water to boiling, and she got the dye in the little packages about that big, and she poured the dye in there, and then she put that dress in on top of that dye. It was blue dye. I don't remember the color. It was blue. She owned a blue dress. And so she dyed, she put that dress in that blue dye, and then she boiled it a certain number of, I don't know how long she boiled it, but she boiled it long enough that when she took that dress out, it was blue instead of white. My friends, that's exactly what Paul said about some men's minds. They are dyed. D-Y-E-D. That's another word from D-I-E-D. D-Y-E-D means to dye anything. So as to make it white, pink, blue, black, or any color you want. Paul says their minds are dyed with sin. Sin. Sin is black. That's the way their minds are. I remember, you remember Charles Manson. Some of you people remember Charles Manson. He committed his acts of atrocity and butchery way back there in the early 70s. And he had some little old bitsy polywogs, I call them, little bitsy polywogs, followers that followed him around, and they would do exactly what he said. But first they had to sniff some of this, you know, this LSD and all this other stuff that they sniffed. I've forgotten what those, but anyway, when they get under the power of that stuff, then they'd go to a window in a kitchen or somewhere, and they'd sneak in through the back door, and then they'd start their butchery of their victims. Well, in butchering those victims, they got bloody themselves. Now, the book told me, out of the book in my library, that some of those fellows, the followers of Manson, would have blood all over them from their head to their feet. Well, what did they do after that butchery was over? All they did was go into the bathroom and clean up, and they had a change of clothes. They put on clean clothes. They threw those bloody clothes away, and when they got in their cars, they were all clean and not combed, and clean clothes on, clean shoes on, clean socks on, and away they went back to Charles Manson's hideout. And Manson said, "Now, did you do a good nasty job?" They said, "Yes, we did a nasty job." No blood leaves a stain, my brother, that no other stain leaves. No other stain has. You can let the blood soak into the wood of the floor, and you can wash it out. You can wash it out.
could stay there. We stayed in some of the old houses in the frontier towns of this state of California. Have blood stains right in the wood from the 19th century of men who were murdered in those places. Blood leaves a stain, my friends, that nothing else leaves. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can remove sin from a human heart, because it leaves a stain that man himself cannot remove. Can I reverse? All right, Christians ought to be of the same mind. The same mind. Paul says in Romans 12 and 16, thinking the same thing. And Paul says in Philippians 4 and 2, beseeching you, Odius and Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now here are two ladies in this first church here, church at Philippi. They got into a fight. I don't know whether they were pulling hair, or slapping faces, or chewing on the ears. I don't know what they were doing, but they were in a fuss. They were in a fight of some kind, and Paul said, "Now I want you ladies to straighten up and be of the same mind in the Lord." And Philippians 2 and 2 says, having the same love, keep on thinking the same things. You and I have seen churches torn to bits because they couldn't get together on where to put the piano. You and I have seen churches torn to bits because they couldn't settle on the color of the window, the church windows. You and I have seen churches torn to bits because they couldn't settle on the kind of a mob that went in for their gold. Isn't that silly? Isn't that babyish? Why, a little boy back there whose name is Daniel has got more sense than that. And he's not a year old yet. That's a fact. And even that little girl right there, the mother's holding in her lap, got more sense than that. Paul tells us to be of the same thinking and not be divided and twisted and fussing and fighting all the time. Act like men and women of God. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, I appeal to you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all keep on speaking the same thing, that there be no splits among you. Somebody says that split started in Westland, San Francisco, California. No, it started with Paul way back young in Corinth 2,000 years ago. Let there be no splits among you. Too many Baptist churches are split. They are right down the middle and sometimes full of fire other different ways because they're not thinking properly. Let there be no splits among you, but that ye be knitted together in the same mind and in the same purpose. Every lady in this house knows what it is to knit. I'm sure every lady in this house can knit. You know what knitting is. Knitting brings threads together, doesn't it? Yes, it does. It brings threads together. You can't knit by tearing threads apart. No, no, no. Sweaters are knitted. Various garments are knitted. I saw a lady one time wearing a knitted dress from her shoulders clean on down to her ankles. Beautiful dress. Knitted all the way. Knitting is an art. A lady has to know something in order to knit. Well, Paul says right here, I want you to be knitted together in the same mind and in the same opinion or purpose. And then Paul says in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. I remember reading one time about a guy in Italy whose name was R-A-P-H-A-E-L. And that guy was a painter, Raphael. He was a painter. I mean, he was a good one. He knew how to paint. He lived in Florentine, Italy. He was a good painter, expert painter. You can find his paintings in museums today, and some of them are worth millions of dollars. Raphael. And he had a student. And this student said, I'm going to learn how to paint like Raphael. I'm going to do it. And so he tried. He would go to the pictures painted by Raphael, and he would do his dead level best to make a picture just like Raphael did. He struggled. He worked. He sweated at the job. And finally he had to give it up. He said, I just can't do it. I cannot paint as well, as beautifully, as Raphael did. He said, if I had the mind of Raphael, then I could paint as beautifully as Raphael did. You know, my friend, Paul said we have the mind of Christ, and since we have the mind of Christ, we can behave like Christ. We can think like Christ. We can do what Christ did long ago.
Yes, we can, because we have His mind. I want to write that Greek word up here so you can. Here's the Greek word that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. Here it is right here. N-double-O-S.
Nous! That's the mind that Paul is talking about. That's the Greek word. Paul says we have the nous of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And that word right there means a spiritual mind too. It doesn't mean the mind of the flesh. The mind of the outward man. No, sir, it means the spiritual inward man. The mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Boy, isn't that wonderful? I like to preach that. We have the mind of Christ. We don't have the mind of the devil. We don't have the mind of some wicked man. We don't have the mind of demons. We have the mind of Christ. You know, some of these days when we die, we're going to paradise because of that mind. If we're going to spend eternity in paradise because of that mind, because that mind never does die. The mind of Christ never does die. Last Tuesday I preached a funeral of a little six-year-old boy from the finest little college you ever saw. 6 years old, but he had only the mind of a one-year-old. You know what little boy's in paradise today? He's in paradise today. Enjoying your fellowship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus Christ, and all everybody's gone to paradise. He's just having a good time up there. That little boy could smile. We've seen his smiles in this church house. Some of us would go back there in the nursery, and he would be lying there on the nursery bed, and the first thing he did was smile at you. Man, he had a beautiful, pleasant smile. Well, he's smiling today in heaven because he's got the mind of Christ. Thank you, brethren. It's 12 o'clock. Thank you. Let me stand, please. Brother Don, come down to the front, please, and be seated at the piano. Brother Mike, let's have a song. Might be somebody here in this audience today who's about Christ. You don't know Christ as a personal Savior. You've never trusted Him as your Savior. You'd like to have Him today before this service closes. As we sing 377, will you come as we sing this song?